Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, I'm on now. All right, this is Watchman on the Wall. I got Brother Tim Jackson on with me, and we're going to come on in with The King Is Coming. This is Watchman on the Wall, End Time Global Link Ministry. We have a little technician difficulty. Sometimes the cold weather causes it to act up, the radio frequency act up, but anyway, we're going to go ahead anyway. Okay, Tim, you in there with me? Hey, Tim, you in there with me? 1, 2, 3. Can you hear me? One, two, three, can you hear me, Tim? One, two, three, Tim, can you hear me? One, two, three, can you hear me, Tim?
Hey, Bizarre, you're on live. We're waiting on Tim to call in.
Okay, I can go ahead and start up. He'll probably be a little late. I don't know. I just had him just a while ago. This is Watchman on the Wall. This is Elder G. Bizarre coming on in. I'm in Warren, Ohio. I'm going to go on down there into Texas. Tim Jackson's coming on in a minute.
Amen.
Okay, Oliver, I was talking to Derek Oliver just a while ago. We're having a little technical difficulty, but we're going to go in anyway. Anytime you want to do something for the Lord, you know, the devil going to try to stop in and see what he can mess up. But we're going to
rebuke
his name right now. We're going to rebuke him because we got to get this word out. This is Elder G. Bizarre, Watchman on the Wall. I got my best friend, amen, in the gospel with me, Tim Jackson. Amen. A Bible man, a revelation man, and a Jesus man. Amen. Loves the Lord. He's been working with me for the last year and a half. Well acquainted with the Word of God, and we don't come nothing but from the Word of God. So he's got to be right, and I know I got to be right. Souls are being saved, I hope, through this ministry, and I know souls are being saved outside of this ministry. God is saving. And he got me and Brother Tim preaching the end time message. We believe in the whole Bible.
Oh,
we're living in the end time. So we ain't got no time to be playing bingo. We ain't got no time to go into Las Vegas to gamble or anything. We got to tell you about what is ready to happen on this planet. Jesus Christ is getting ready to come back. And the world is not paying attention. But we're trying to get the world attention to let them know this is no game. This is a gospel of Jesus Christ. Not gossip, because there's a lot of difference between gossip and gospel. Gospel is good news. Gospel. Gossip is about somebody else and their misfortune and their failure. We are not talking about nobody. We're just trying to get you to be aware of what it is to know Jesus Christ. And the only way you can know him is through Jesus Christ is the only one that died on Calvary. Other men died on the cross in the time of the Roman Empire. They hung him out there in the sun, and they died, and they never got up. Only one man died and got up out the grave on the third day morning, and that was Jesus Christ. And that's who I worship. That's who Brother Tim worship. And I advise you, anybody out there, that's what you need to worship, Jesus Christ. Nobody else. Nobody else. We're so glad to have him with us tonight. And we're going to get into the word. I want him to go ahead and offer prayer. Then he's going to give it back to me. And then we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty. Amen. Brother, go ahead, Brother Tim.
Amen, amen. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we come thanking you this day. We come praising your holy name, dear Heavenly Father, for this is the day that you have made. And let us rejoice, dear Heavenly Father, for you said that we should be here. We are grateful for our life. We're grateful for seeing another day. Most of all, we thank you for our eternal salvation, dear Heavenly Father. We look forward to the day of your return of your Son. Amen. The Christ, the Messiah. Amen. We bless and praise your holy name, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for love, dear Heavenly Father. Bless us to show love to the world, dear Heavenly Father. Bless us to speak the truth by your Spirit and to speak the truth in love, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for your Son, his ultimate sacrifice. Amen. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come praying that this ministry wraps around the entire world, dear Heavenly Father. We reach as many souls as we possibly can, dear Heavenly Father. We are praying for salvation. We are praying for love. We're praying that the church be increased before the return of your Son, Jesus, dear Heavenly Father. We bless and praise your holy name, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you again for your grace and your mercy, dear Heavenly Father. We pray that the Holy Spirit comes forward and speak your word. And we are the vessels ready to be used, dear Heavenly Father, for we come from no shape or form, but, dear Heavenly Father, only to lift up your Son, to lift up and to grow the kingdom of heaven. We bless and praise your holy name forevermore. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right, amen. Doctor, how you doing?
Thank you, brother, for that prayer. Amen. I'm gonna say amen. A few words, just a few words, and then I'm gonna lay it in your lap. But we do want to let the people know, and those that's listening, amen, where we're coming from. We're coming from the whole Bible. We ain't leaving no book out the Bible or trying to skip over a book, but we're dealing in a book right now, which is the last book in the Bible, and that's Revelation, the unrevealing Christ. Christ is going to be revealed to the planet pretty soon. Amen. He's going to come back. The world is going to see him, and in the book of Revelation, it tells us exactly how he's going to return, and he will not return until on this planet now. He's not going to return on this planet until the end of the seven-year tribulation. And Revelation carries 2,000 years of church age, 1,000 years of the millennium reign. So right now we at the end of the church age. We were talking about the churches the other day. Amen. I think it was Saturday. Amen. Brother Tim had his program on, and he was explaining the first one, two, and third chapter of Revelation. I want you to understand, we're coming from the Bible. If you got a Bible in your home, amen, you should get it out. If you're in the car, amen, just ask the Lord to help you to remember what we're going to give you and keep on driving, amen. But we thank the word of God this evening, amen. Satan don't want this book to be talked about. The most dreadful book for the devil is Revelation. Because Revelation
amen.
Shows coming down. He's coming down. He's almost here. And it covers 22 chapters. 22 chapters in the book of Revelation. Every chapter is an episode. Some chapters overleap another chapter that finished up in another chapter. Already in chronological order. And it is telling and writing to the seven churches. It's writing to the church, not to the world. It's writing to the churches, and the seven churches are supposed to give it to the world. And the world is supposed to listen. But most people today are not listening to Revelation because they think God is not going to bring judgment on the world. Everybody want to serve the Lord, but they don't want to understand. We're headed for judgment. I am headed for judgment. You are headed for judgment. The whole world is headed for judgment. And Revelation gives you the picture of what's going to happen during the period of the judgment upon this earth. But right now, we're living in the last church age, and the last church age is called Laodicean. The Laodicean is the lukewarm, dead church half and half. Jesus said, either you be hot or cold. If you're lukewarm, I'm going to take you out of my mouth. You playing a hypocrite. Mm-hmm. You form of godliness. You ain't got no power. You're walking around talking about going to heaven and don't know nothing about the love of Jesus Christ. And one thing about it, you got to know Jesus Christ in your heart, mm-hmm. not in your head. You just can't say, I know about him, but you got to know him with an intimacy. In other words, you got to have what? A relationship with him. The only way, you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you must be born again. Your life must be changed. You must become a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, everything anew. So you got to have Jesus Christ. Nicodemus talked with Jesus and thought he had to go into his mother's womb again to be born. And Jesus said, no way. You must be born again, not of the flesh and blood, but you must be born of the water and of the spirit. So now, every born again believer, I'm talking about a believer. I'm talking about somebody who's been filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about somebody that loves people. If you're a Christian, you love everybody. I said, if you are a Christian, you love everybody. I know I love everybody, and Ain't nobody forcing me to love nobody. Ain't nobody making me love nobody. Jesus Christ lives in my heart, and I love Christ, and Christ loves me, and Jesus Christ is love. So I'm going to love everything that Jesus loves. Amen. So don't come telling me you love God and hate your brother, because if you are, a liar, and the truth is not in you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So Revelation 22 chapters. I'm going to run on now. Give me 5 more minutes, and brother, I'm gonna give it over to you, and you can work with it. Amen. First 3 chapters. When you read the book of Revelation, you're reading the church age. You got 7 churches. I'm not gonna name them because the brother gonna work with us. Amen. You got 7 church ages. The last church age is Laodicea. Number 1. That's the first part of Revelation. We are in the church age. The next thing we have is in the 4th chapter. I'm gonna run it through for you. 4th chapter represents the rapture. The rapture of what? The church. Since it's the last church age, the church mission is almost over. Jesus Christ tells us in the 4th chapter, John tells us in the 4th chapter, that when he looked up, he said, behold, immediately I was caught up in the spirit. That is the representation of the church of the living God. Amen. That's when Christ descends from heaven. Now, when he comes from heaven, he's not going to touch the earth. He's only going to come in the midair. He's going to come way beyond the kingdoms of Satan. Satan is in the first and second heaven, but he's going to come on the outskirts of heaven. Good God Almighty. He's going to come down to a period where, amen, he's going to call the church out of this world. What church? Those that are dead those that died in Christ are in the grave. We that remain alive should be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Where are we going? We're going to the judgment seat of Christ. We're headed for the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to be there at the judgment seat of Christ. Every born-again believer, white, black, yellow, green, ugly, pretty, poor, rich, everybody that knows Jesus Christ and have had a dynamic experience with a change of life through what? Through the blood of Jesus Christ. 4th chapter gives us a picture of the rapture. So when you read your Bible, when you read the book of Revelation, and you see the 4th chapter, that's the rapture chapter, all right? 5th chapter, we're at the throne of God. The church is at the throne of God. We are there getting our rewards for what? The born-again believer, because we're not going to be judged for our salvation, because we already have attained salvation. We're going to be judged for our works. Our works going to be judged by what? Gold, silver, and brass, or wood, hay, and stubble. So that's the judgment seat of Christ. In the 5th chapter, it gives you the throne of God. It gives you the rainbow. It gives you the 4 beasts around the throne. It shows you what? The beasts are saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. That's the judgment seat of Christ. Oh, is God so holy? He's so holy that the moon and the stars is impure to his sight. He's so holy that he cannot look upon iniquity. He cannot enjoy iniquity. He hates iniquity. And the only way that he could get rid of the iniquity of mankind from Adam all the way to this is through the cross. No way, no way. Ain't no other religion, ain't no other cult that can change your life but the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't you try to be like a thief and a robber trying to go to heaven another way. Because if you try to go to heaven another way, you're worse than a thief and a robber. And a thief and a robber can enter the kingdom of God. All right, the sixth chapter, good God Almighty. God sits on the throne. Jesus Christ sits on the throne with seven seals. Seven seals are open. The seven seals are open. When they're open, they tell me, I see a white horse. That's the Antichrist. I see a red horse. That's war. What war? The war of Gog and Magog. Gog and Magog is on its way right now. They're getting ready now. Russia's getting ready. Ukraine is getting ready. Iraq is getting ready. All these nations are planning to make an attack upon Israel, and it's going to fail. After war, John said, I saw a black horse. A black horse represents family. John said, I looked at another horse. Good God Almighty. I see a pale-looking, sick-looking horse. What that represents? That represents viruses and diseases and corona and leukemia and lung cancer and all these diseases and viruses and illnesses, sickness that's striking the earth now. It's going to get worse and worse as we get into the revelation. And then he said, in the seventh chapter gives you a picture of what? It gives you a picture of what? The 144,000. Why? Because the church is not here. Since the church is not here, God's going to send 144,000 Jews, all right? After the 144,000 Jews get ready, we go to the eighth chapter. Eighth chapter gives you the seal of the bowls that's going to be poured up on the earth. But before it's poured up on the earth, they tell me there was a silence in heaven. That's the eighth chapter. The ninth chapter, the bottomless pit will be open. I'm going to run this real through. Try to get the real through so when we get to it, you'll know where I'm coming from. He said the ninth chapter, there was an angel came down from heaven to open the bottomless pit, and scorpions came out. That represents scorpions stinging men that they want to die and can't die. And this is a judgment that will only happen during the tribulation period. These are demonic, demon activities. The devil now is planning, and he's the only plan that he got. He knows he's got to come out of the first and second heaven. He knows he's got to come down here and rule through the Antichrist. He knows from the Antichrist and the false prophet is going to be cast into the lake of fire. And then the devil said, I know I got to go to the bottomless pit. After I go to the bottomless pit, he's going to stay in there for 1,000 years. After the 1,000 years are up, he's going to come out and deceive those that would live through the millennium reign. And then after that, he's going to be cast into the lake of fire that burns with brimstone. That's what he's afraid of. That's where he knows where he's going. That's where he knows that if I can keep all those that refuse Jesus Christ from coming to him and repenting of their sins, I got them. Because the only way the devil can get you, the only way the devil can damn your soul to hell is that you reject Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and that you think you can go to church the rest of your life and go to heaven. You can't go to heaven through the church. You got to go to heaven through Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you.
Amen.
The Bible says that the name of Jesus, every what? Knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess that what? Jesus Christ is Lord. Then we go to the 10th chapter. 10th chapter says an angel comes down out of heaven, put one foot on the land and one on the sea, and holds a little book in his hand and say, the time that's now shall be no longer. Whoa, what you talking about? That's the 10th chapter. The 10th chapter represents we're getting closer to the middle of the tribulation period. The 11th chapter, the temple will be built. And the temple right now is in preparation. Ooh, the Jews are planning to rebuild the temple. And that temple will be built for the Antichrist. The Antichrist will come on the scene and tell the world that he is Jesus Christ, and he will sit in the temple and consider himself to be God. But before he can sit in the temple, there's a miracle going to happen. My God, the miracle of all miracles through Satan and his what? Cohorts. All his demons are backing Lucifer up to do what? To do something it's never done before, and it's going to deceive the world. What he's going to do, the Antichrist is going to be shot in the middle of the tribulation, which is the 11th chapter and the 12th chapter. He's going to be shot laying in the morgue. This is Revelation now. This is the 12th, 11 and 12. chapter of Revelation, he's going to be shot. He's going to lay in the morgue for what? 3 days, dead. Dead as a doorknob, going to kill the Antichrist. Satan, in the 12th chapter, will be cast out of heaven. While he's cast out of heaven, he's coming to earth. When he's coming to earth, he's bringing all his cohorts, all the UFOs, all the aliens. He's coming to what? Rule the world in the last part of the tribulation period. He'll rule the world for 7 years, but the last part where he would take full control of mankind and put mankind in the decision that they will have to make. But the decision will be made through the preaching of the 144,000. The world is going to hear, good God Almighty, they're going to hear about the 144,000 preaching that Jesus Christ is their Messiah. He's coming back to set up a millennial kingdom. And through that, many Gentile nations will be saved during the tribulation period. That's what the church should be doing now. But the church ain't doing that because the church is not there. And since the church's job is all is over at the rapture, we are at the throne of God getting our rewards. All right? The 11th chapter, 12th chapter is going to be in heaven. This war will happen right in the middle of the tribulation. Michael and his angels will cast out the devil, the old Beelzebub, the red dragon. He will cast him out to the earth. And the Antichrist will be resurrected by the power of Lucifer. Lucifer is going to do something that he has never done before, and God is going to permit him to do it, and he's going to give the world a decision who they're going to serve. And majority, oh my God, this is what it said, majority of the world, the majority of the world will follow after the beast. They will follow after the dragon. They will follow after the old serpent. They will follow after Beelzebub, and they will follow them through the Luciferians. They will follow them through the Illuminatis. They will follow them through the secret societies. All these secret societies now is in control of the government. Biden is not controlling the government. It's the Luciferians. It's the demons. It's the devils. It's himself. It's ruling right now because Corinthians said Satan is the god of this age. In other words, he's the god of what? He's the god of 6,000 years of the human race. But on the 7,000 years, he's going to be done away with in a bottomless pit. We got to what? We got the 15th chapter, the victory of the Lamb. Amen. The 15th chapter gives us a picture. 14 and 15th chapter gives us the vials that's going to be poured out on the earth, the vials and the bowls and the spirit are going to be poured out up on the earth. So I ain't going to run through them, but that's those two chapters, 14 and 15. And 16 is the victory, where in the latter part of the tribulation period, the Euphrates River is going to be what? Let loose. Demons are going to be let loose in the Euphrates River. That's the 16th. And the world today is getting ready for what? They're getting ready for that big battle, the biggest battle that ever was up on the planet. God versus Satan. Satan is going to muster up the largest army that he ever could muster up. Muster up bigger than Napoleon's army, bigger than Hitler's army, bigger than all the armies in the world. The nations of the world is going to come against Jerusalem, and they're going to tell the Lord. They're going to try to tell Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the Creator, the Maker, the Alpha and Omega, don't you come down here. Don't you step your foot down here. We step your foot down here. We got atomic bombs. We got missiles and rockets. And we got all kind of arsenals to stop you. But that's not going to stop the God of gods and the Lord of lords, because he's a battle-fighting God anyway. And the world is rebelling against God. Church folks is rebelling against God. Preachers are rebelling against God. But let me tell you, you're going to pay for what you sow. And people are sowing evil deeds and evil things, and you're gonna reap exactly what you sow. So what we got? We got the 16th chapter. 17th chapter gives us the picture of the false church. I'm not going to go over that, but it's called Mystery Babylon. That's the 17th chapter. The 18th chapter, Commercial Babylon. Commercial Babylon is a Babylon that is in control with all the goodies of the world, all the food, all the clothes, all the cars, automobiles, all the buildings that man has put up on earth. And he said, now there's going to be a collapse. The whole system is getting ready to collapse. The banking system is shot. Everything is going downhill, but everything that knows Jesus Christ is going to go up after a while, because the Lord is going to what? He's going to excommunicate his body from this whole world that we're living in, because he don't gave man time enough. Woo! He don't gave time enough for man to repent, and man won't repent. Then we got the 19th chapter. Gives you a picture of the return of Jesus Christ when the sky opened up. The 9th chapter, 11th verse. Then we got the 20th chapter. The 20th chapter shows you that the angel going to come out of heaven and take a hold of Satan and cast him into the bottomless pit. When he cast him to the bottomless
Amen.
Pit, Jesus Christ comes back to the earth. He's going to what? He's going to bind old Satan for 1,000 years and begin the millennium reign. When he begins the millennium reign in the 20th chapter of Revelation, that means all the nations that got saved during the tribulation period and during the millennium reign, amen, will rule and reign with Jesus Christ. And they tell me God is going to bring the earth back into relationship with him and back into communication with him. And everything that's not like the devil will be vanished from the earth except one thing, one sin that God is not going to banish from the earth, and that's the sin of unbelief. Unbelief will still be doing here during the millennium reign, because God is going to prove to mankind, look, you cannot blame everything on the devil. And there's one sin you cannot blame on the devil, and that is unbelief. That's your own spirit. That's your own. That's your own.
That's right.
And see, because the devil believes. Let me tell you something. The devil believe more than some Christians believe. Amen. The devil knows there's a God. He knows he was resurrected from the dead. He knows the blood of Jesus Christ can save you. He knows that Jesus Christ is coming again. He knows all that. And we got Bible, supposed to be Bible students and Bible scholars. Man, they don't even know the Lord's Prayer. My God, my God. Let me tell you, and what's wrong with the world is people don't read the Bible no more. That's the problem. They don't read it. They won't accept it until something happens. When something happens, they say, oh, Lord, help me, Lord. But it might be too late. Don't be like that. All right. We got the 21st chapter and the 22nd chapter. And that concludes after millennium reign. The old heaven and the old earth will pass away. And God will renovate this earth and we'll go out into eternity. But before that happens, the final act will be over, and that's at the great white throne. The great white throne will, all the wicked will be judged at the great white throne. The earth and heaven will flee away, and there will be billions of people stretched out to eternity, and everyone that will not be found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Bible says, they will be cast into the lake of fire. And I don't care how much you claim to know Jesus Christ. If you don't know him, your name is not going to be in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your works will never get you to heaven. It's going to take faith in Jesus Christ. By faith, man can be saved by the grace of God, not we ourselves, least any man should boast. My friend, I try to run that so when Brother Tim comes up across of it, we can kind of refresh our mind of what I've tried to explain to you in the 22nd, in the 22 chapters of Book of Revelation. The 22 chapters covers 1,700 years. That's what it covered, 1,700 years. The seven-year tribulation and the 1,000 years, and it closes. This is what Revelation is all about. It's telling you the judgment of the wicked and the judgment of the righteous. The righteous will be in heaven and they will live. Good God, I'm closing. They will live with the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever in peace and harmony. And those that reject Christ, rejection will put you in hell. Reject Christ and you will burn. Oh, my God. I got to say it. You're going to burn in hell. You're going to be lost forever. Why? Because the mercy and the love and the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on Calvary's cross. And when you reject the blood of Christ and refute the blood of Christ, there's only one place you can go, separated from God, in hell. Don't go to hell.
Yes, sir.
God bless you. Brother Tim, work with it, brother.
Amen, brother. All glory be to the Most High God. Amen. Giving God the praise, the honor, We thank the Heavenly Father. Amen. We acknowledge the Father, the Son. Amen. The Holy Spirit. We thank God for his grace and mercy. Most of all, brother, we thank him for our eternal salvation. Amen. As the brother said, amen, one thing you cannot be forgiven of is rejection, because rejection of the blood of Christ, the only thing that can put you into the lake of fire other than the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Amen. But we know those who blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Amen. We know that those individuals are the ones that have sold their soul. They sold out. Amen. They are sealed. They know that that's where they want to go. Amen. They say, I don't care nothing about God. Amen. They cuss God. Amen. And in fact, that you know, they made it to, you know, to the point to where they that's what they want to do. In other words, they have sold out and they reject God. They don't want nothing to do with God. That's these folks who call themselves the so-called elite, the so-called Illuminati.
Yeah.
Amen. That's what they've done. They are going to serve Satan. And that's sad. That is very, very sad that you would just, and you don't have to, because Satan does not own your soul. Your soul belongs to God. Amen. But he gives you free will choice. Like the brother said, he gives you free will choice to make a choice. Do you want to serve God and go to heaven? Or do you want to reject God and go to hell and eventually to the lake of fire? That's a choice that only you can make. And as the brother said, amen, God didn't put you there. You're going to put yourself there. Amen. And God's going to prove, amen, the 1,000 millennial reign. He's going to prove to you that, you know what? It ain't got nothing to do with the devil. Amen. It's just like Satan himself. Satan didn't have to have a devil to do what he did. He made the choice to rebel. And apparently, because he was the one that was brave enough to have the nerve to go against God, the rest of them, amen, say, you know what? Well, we've been thinking it, but he just acted upon it. And they decide to follow the devil, which was his name was Lucifer, and they followed Satan. Then they was all kicked out of heaven. The Bible says that he drew a third of the stars. Man, that's a lot of angels that went with him.
A lot of angels.
Amen. But the Bible said in the book of Jude that God made what? Hell and darkness and the chains of darkness is reserved for the devil and his angels. Man, why don't you want to follow that path? Amen. Amen. Why don't you want to follow that path? Amen. But I'll tell you today, amen, I went to church today. Amen. Went to one of the old church. Amen. And the new pastor there, amen, my father in the ministry actually passed away. Amen. This past December 2021, may he rest in peace. Amen. The new pastor has taken over. Amen. This is the church, amen, where they once upon a time wanted me to be the pastor, but amen, I told them that, amen, it's all about God. Amen. I don't move on man. It's what God says. Amen.
All right now.
Move on. Amen. I don't move on emotions. Amen. Just because someone offered, amen, don't mean that you should take it. Amen. But I was glad for the new pastor of the church. Went there. He spoke a good word. Amen. I will acknowledge this. Amen. I was so happy to hear him talk about the return of Christ. Amen. So that means that, amen, doctor, the more and more we preach the word, somebody's spreading the message. Amen. The word is getting out. We appreciate that. And for the past 2 years, we've been preaching the same message. And the word is beginning to be universal. And that's what we pray for. That's what we hope for. And understand what we're saying. Amen. The more and more this language becomes the norm, we believe that more and more pastors are going to start preaching on the return of Christ. Amen. We know that some of them have some ways to go to get to Revelation, meaning that they have to do some study and some research. They may not fully understand Revelation or most of Revelation, but that's okay. Start warning the people and letting the people know. Christ said, "Behold, I come quickly." Amen. Amen.
Come
on. What I'm simply saying to you is, amen, someone doesn't have to necessarily hear us say this directly. It could be indirectly, and it's not just us. It's becoming the normal language, amen. Well, there have been people been preaching, like Elder Mazar, been preaching, amen, for more than 40 years.
Amen.
Amen. I've been preaching it more than 10 years, amen, but I've been preaching Revelation. So the word is becoming to be the normal now. This is the new normal. Like we said, ain't no more going back to church talking about motivational speeches and talking about money, how much money
come
we can
on.
Raise. The people and caught on to
come
that.
On.
Ain't no more of that. Ain't no more cracking jokes. Some people are catching on to that. It's okay to
yeah.
be funny. Don't get me wrong. It's okay to be motivational in church, but preach the blood of Christ. Preach salvation.
Yeah, come on,
teach love. Amen. Teach the return of our Lord and Savior. See, it's okay to do some of those things, but when you just do that all the time, man, I got a problem with that. When you're not talking about the return of Christ and you, amen, you're talking about just money all the time and just you and what you got and talking about yourself, I got a problem with that.
Amen.
We need for you. We need for people to start teaching about the return of Christ. Amen.
Yeah.
We need for people to start teaching about more love, so the world could be a better place. Because right now the church is falling away, and so much sin in the world, so much evil, so much bad things is going on in the world. And do these people care? Amen. The Bible says the love of the world will wax cold. This
wax
is the
cold.
Age we are in. Amen.
Man.
We can no longer ignore these things. Amen. We got to start taking this thing head on and rebuking the
amen.
Devil. Let them know, amen, that we serve God. He's the only God. Amen. Don't just buy into the normal just because everybody is. I remember one time about 15, 17 years ago, I wasn't even a licensed minister, but amen, I was still teaching the word. I was still witnessing the word. Amen. I was still going around. I was teaching a Sunday school. I was a Sunday school teacher. And let me tell you this, this ain't the boast of Brad. I knew more Bible than he did and knew more Bible than most pastors out here that are in the pulpit. Amen.
Come on.
This is before I even became a licensed minister or a pastor. And I remember one time I was teaching him about once saved, always saved. He tried to tell me, brother, that ain't true. He said, you can teach that, but you're not going to be popular. I said, brother, I'm not in this to be popular. I'm in this to preach and tell the truth and to win souls for Christ. That's what I'm in this for, not
amen,
to become
brother.
Popular. It ain't about a dollar bill. Amen. That's what I go to work for. Amen. Life
amen.
Truth be told. One pastor said, amen, if I rely on the people to get paid, I'd be in trouble. Amen. Amen.
Trouble,
amen. So I got to get up and go to work. Amen. Now, if God sees fit to bless me in that manner, amen, I'm all for it. That just
praise
leaves me
God.
More time. Praise God, doctor. That just leaves me more time and opportunity to do more ministry, to do more study. Amen. But we just want
amen.
You all to know that, amen, we don't, this is not about popularity. Amen. So many folks are worried about what people are going to say. I'm so glad to hear that brother preach that message this morning, and the people were receptive to it. That just goes to show we got to continue to push this thing and push people to revelation. We are here to support
Ooh,
you.
Hallelujah.
You listen to the show. Amen, brother. Share this ministry. Share this show. Whatever knowledge and information that you need, we are here for it. We are studying and researching for it. Now, we're not telling you not to do no studying and research and just take everything that we say, because why? The Bible says to study to show thyself approved. And you should want
yes,
to know
sir.
What's going on in yourself. Amen. Not just rely on what we teach or preach. Amen. But I enjoy
amen.
It. I really do. Amen. I know the brother loves it, and he enjoys it. He's been faithful to this word for more than 40 years in teaching on eschatology. Amen. And now, as he can see, amen, and I can see after preaching over 10 years, amen, we are getting very, very close to the return
close,
of Christ.
Close.
Amen. This
yeah.
is what it's all about. And so this is what I want to share with you. You know I like to get into some scripture. Amen.
Go ahead,
I like to freestyle
go ahead.
Sometime. Amen. But let's go over to 1 Thessalonians. We'll share some scripture with you. 1 Thessalonians.
Yes.
Amen. And I believe it's the 5th chapter is where I want to go. And while I'm going there, what I want to share with you is Moses brought the law. Amen. Christ
all right.
gave the gospels. Amen. And Paul
amen.
Gave us the final instructions. And then Christ came back and called John into the Spirit. Amen, and gave us the final warnings. Amen.
All right.
Amen. So I'll
all
say
right.
that again. Moses gave us the law, which came from God. Amen. God sent his only begotten son, Christ, to save man, to build the church. The church age for the last 2,000 years. Amen.
Come on.
And he gave us the gospels. And then Paul gave us the final instructions. Amen. Paul told us how to live. Paul told us how to get saved and what should you do once you become saved. Amen. And then Christ called John up into the spirit and gave John the final warning. Amen. So what I want to deal with real quick, amen, brother, I just want to deal with just a little bit on the final instructions in which Paul gave to the church. So go to 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verse 12. That's where it starts, and it ends at verse 28. I'm going to try to read all of them, amen? So let's go ahead and read through it first, and we'll come back, and we'll let the Holy Spirit talk to you. I'm just going to read, and then the Holy Spirit is going to talk to you. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verses 12 through 28. It says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now, we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both yourself and to all men." Amen. I like that. "Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Amen.
Yes.
"Quench not
Amen.
The spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, have mercy. Faithful he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So Paul gives us what? What does Paul give us? He's given us the instructions as the church how we are to carry ourselves and we are to wait on the Lord, how we are to watch for Christ and wait on the Lord. Amen. This is where we are at now. Amen.
Yes,
but
sir.
Paul taught
yes,
this thousands of years ago. He taught this over 1,000 years ago. Paul gave this to the Thessalonians. Amen. And ultimately,
Amen.
We have it as the church today. And what is our job? Amen. To be obedient to the word. Amen. Paul is teaching us how we should walk as the church. The things that we need to do on a daily basis, amen. And like the brother say, you got some folks, amen, the devil knows the Bible more than some people in the church because, amen, because people
amen.
Are not applying themselves, amen. That's sad that you just want to go to church and just be religious, amen. I'm going to tell you right now, I can't stand nothing more than a religious person, amen, because why? Amen. Because why?
Amen.
Man, look at here. Those folks are so wishy-washy. I don't like all that. Amen. Come on and get into your word and learn the Bible. Okay? Learn the Bible. Okay? So it's for you to learn the word of God. Amen. So let's go back over the scripture. Amen. So Paul is instructing the church here. That's why it says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them that which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you." Amen. Will they be pastors?
Amen.
Amen. Brothers in Christ. Amen. Your leadership of the church. Amen. But he said what? "And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Amen. And it says, be at peace among yourselves. As a church, you know, it's sad to see certain things. I used to see funny things going on in the church. You would hear certain church members cursing one another church member out of, you know, fighting. Kind of silly stuff. You know, and this is something that I could understand when I was young. Amen. Because we have to be careful how we carry ourselves in the church. Because people watch us and people make decisions based on how we live. Why? Because, amen, a lot of people are not going to go, they're just not going to come into no Bible study. And they ain't gonna try to learn the Bible to a certain level or degree that you are. And if they are unlearned and unsaved, amen, they may take to heart what they see. And if you cutting up, they say, well, man, why would I want to come be a part of that?
Come
These
on now.
These folks don't look like they're no godly people. They don't like they serve God.
Come on.
Amen. Yeah. We don't want to be around that stuff. So we have to be careful how we live and live our lives. We have to live our lives according to Christ and walk in the Spirit. Amen. Not in the flesh, not cussing folks out, talking bad about people, talking about people behind the back. Amen. The pastor talked about that today. Don't be talking about folks and cutting up, because we know some of these folks in the church, they worse than the people in the world.
Come on, preacher.
Amen, bro, what you were saying. Amen. Yes, they're sir, worse than the folks in the world. The people in the world show more love than the people in the church. Ain't that sad?
Come on, preacher.
Now, that is sad. I can't even lie to you. That is sad. Now, the folks in the world show you more love than the people in the church. You wonder why the world, amen. You wonder why the world has gotten to the extent and the point to where it's at. It's because you ain't walking right.
Yeah, he ain't walking right.
He ain't walking right. That's it, doctor. I ain't showing no love. You know, man, they so quick to run out of church, don't want to speak to nobody, don't want to show no love. And, man, I'm going to tell you right now, them type of churches I avoid like the plague. Amen. I don't want nothing to do with any churches like that. Amen. Because this is our job, is to caution people in the Lord. Amen. Warn people with love. This is what the word says, to admonish. It's our job to let people down easy. I have seen people reprimand people in the church in front of people. You know, there's just some things you just don't do. Amen.
That's right.
When I pastor people, let me tell you, this is how I used to pastor. This is what I would tell my people. When I see people walking up one way and coming down another, that means to go up and down. That means to go up and down on somebody. In other words, to give them a hard time, basically to embarrass them. And no matter if it's a child, that's what I used to tell my leadership. If I don't do it to you, you don't do it to nobody else. If you don't be embarrassing you in front of people, what makes you think you need to be embarrassing folks in front of people? You don't need to
do
that. And if it's your own child, I do understand to a certain degree, but even that has limitations. And the Bible says there's a time and place for everything. You do that at home, when you leave the church, when you get in your car, when you go home, then you do that, but not in the house of the Lord. Amen. We don't want to make nobody feel bad or uncomfortable or unwanted. This is just not the house. See, I'm the overseer. I'm the pastor of the church. Amen. If you attend the church, when I see something that's not in love, it is my job and my duty by the Holy Spirit and the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit to call it out. Amen. Not to leave no stone unturned. That is our job. Amen, brother. That's our job.
That's right. That's right.
Amen. You got so many pastors now, they're so spineless, they just let anything go on in church. I didn't see them have gays all on the piano. I didn't see them have gays run off and down the church like they got the Holy Spirit. I said, Lord, have mercy. If you got the Holy Ghost, I'm not saying that you can't have it, but why aren't you getting delivered? Come on now. See, there's some stuff that we just don't want to hear. It's okay for them to run up and down the aisle with a broken wrist and a man with some heels on the drop there. Man, I've seen some foolishness in the church. And I said, Lord, I've been the pastor sitting up there allowing that to go on. Man, I remember a time you couldn't play it. I'm a brother. I know. I remember a time you could not play in church. You couldn't do that type of stuff. I remember the elders of the church would stop the service, stop the band or the organ player, whoever, say, stop. Hold on, stop.
Yeah.
Stop. we're not going to have this. Oh, man, I remember them pastors. Hey, man, I remember. I said, uh-oh, this is to go down. They said, we're not fixing to have this up in here. Man, if you talking, getting out of line, I ain't seen pastors reprimand their wife. Because if she's not doing, she's not supposed to be doing, supporting him or joining in with the people in the church. No, we're not going to have that. We're going to stop this. In front, see, they have the right to do that, amen, because they are the pastors. Because God holds them responsible for the whole church, amen. That's what we're supposed to.
Right.
And we're supposed to caution you lightly, amen. We're supposed to be light, little-hearted or light-hearted with and say, sister, brother, I've seen it happen. We're not going to do that. And I love the pastor's spirit because he's not being mean. He's not shouting. He's not being ugly. He's not being unseemly. He's just saying, brother or sister, well, that's just not how we're going to do. We're just not going to do it like that, amen? And that's the way you're supposed to do it, amen? This is what Paul is saying when we're talking about the final instructions in dealing with one another. This is why it says, and be at peace among yourselves. Nobody can come back and say anything to the pastor or the leadership in the church if it's a deacon. I've seen deacons and mothers of the church stop things from going up. Kids are cutting up. Amen. They reprimand the kids, you know, lightly. Nobody's going to come back and say anything to you if it's done the right way. And this is what Paul said, that we all got to be at peace, whether we are parents, whether we're deacons, missionaries, pastors, overseers, evangelists, or it could be the ushers of the church, the children in the church. We are all supposed to be at peace. We all have to communicate, amen, and follow leadership.
Amen.
Now, why do we say in verse 14 and 15? Let me see if I got a little more time, brother. I won't take too much time.
Go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to try to wrap it up. I'm trying to move a little fast. I need to come back out with. Verse 14 says, now we exhort.
That's it. Do what you got to do, brother. Go ahead.
Okay. Okay. Amen. Now we exhort you, brother. Warn them that are, Lord have mercy. Ain't that what we've been talking about? Unruly. Comfort the feeble minds. Amen. Amen. If they just not ready, their heart is weak. Amen. They feeble minded. If it be ignorance, amen. Feeble minded.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Comfort people. Amen. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. Boy, I like the way Paul writes. I tell my brother all the time and my brothers in Christ, Paul was a genius in the spirit. Amen.
Yes.
That's why he wrote this book. That's why he wrote all those epistles in the New Testament. Amen. I got to read verse 15 again. I mean, 14 again. It says, now we exhort you, brother. We talking to the people of the church. Amen. Remember, see sometimes you got to know who your audience is. And this is to the world, to the church. This is to the church. Basically what Paul is saying, that we ought to know how to conduct ourselves. Is that not what Paul is saying?
That's right.
Paul is saying, you should know better by the Holy Spirit. But we know sometimes folks don't always walk in the Spirit. The Spirit may be with you, but God gives you free will choice to walk as you will. Sometimes amen, brother. Sometimes we don't always walk in the Spirit. Amen. Sometimes folks get on your nerve. They make you upset. Sometimes they make you want to say some things you ain't got no business saying. Amen. That's why we got to walk in the Spirit. Stay close. Hold on to Christ's hand, amen, as much as we can, amen. So I'll tell you right now, boy, folks can cut up sometimes, and sometimes you have to just hold your peace and say, Lord, you know what? And that's where spiritual maturity comes in, amen. But sometimes, bro, you know, when you was a young believer, amen, sometimes, you know, you got to get that world back in you, amen. But then God will work that out of you over time. You say, you know what? Because I know God has blessed me to come so far. Because, man, brother, I used to be quick, and I had to get rid of that temper and say, you know what, I'm gonna be gentle and let God just deal with it. Amen. And this is what Paul is saying, that there's some things we should just know better of in the church. Amen. But he says support the weak. Be patient toward all.
You got
all
right.
We have to be patient with our children. I know that I wasn't always, and sometimes I tell you right now, I was bad about that, brother, at one point. I'm going to give you a time back over. I'm going to come back and finish the rest of them. I was
bad about that
at one point. Oh, okay. I was bad about that at one point. I used to come down on my kids so hard because I didn't want to see them do this and do that and make wrong turns. Then the Holy Spirit convicted me and said, well, now, Tim, you remember when you was young in your father's house and you didn't always do what was right? Amen. He'd tell you to do some things. You, amen. You'd be hard-headed and didn't want to listen. You was young. And so I have to humble myself and say, you know what? I have to wink at some things like my dad winked at me, meaning that he would just allow something. He knew what was going on, but he just allowed it to happen. And he was just praying for me. See, that's spiritual maturity. And that's what we got to learn to do sometimes, just pray for our children. Just step back and let them grow, because the Bible says if you train up a child, they'll be okay. Amen.
All
we all strayed away and did some things to get out there in the world. Because, you know, a lot of times we don't want our kids to do some of the things that we did. But guess what? They, you experienced it. They want to experience it too. So you just got to let them live and grow. Amen. That's why you teach them about salvation at an early age. And when they get saved, that's what the scriptures talk about. Amen. If you train up a child, if you train them in the way of salvation, he's not going to depart. And I tell you, man, one of my youngest son, amen, he reminds me of a lot like me, because I was the youngest boy. And I was so concerned about him, the people he was just hanging out. I was like, Lord, why in the world is he hanging around these boys? They ain't never raising to be around those folks. Like, what's going on? And then, you know, he'd hang out at night and stuff like that, go over here and go there. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to stop stressing and worry about it and put it in God's hand. And one day he confessed to me that a lot of time he talks to his friends about the Bible. That gave me a good relief, a great relief, because a lot of times, you know, we don't see things. You know, we look at things through a different lens. But I thank God for blessing him. That was proof to me that God's word works. If you train up a child in the way they should go, they shall not depart. That just goes to show you that once saved, always saved. And, you know, he assured me that, you know, he said, you know, Dad, that's just not who he is. You know, there's a certain, you know, there's a limit to everything. Just like me, I would do something, but there was always a cutoff. There was always a limit to something. No, I'm not doing that. And that was just a relief for me to hear. Amen. So, amen, I just want to share that with you, amen, as a
side note.
Amen. But we just have to be patient toward who? Especially us in the church. Especially us as believers.
Amen.
We have to have the spirit of Christ. Christ was patient. He dealt with people. He saw a lot of things. And sometimes we know he handled business. Amen. When he saw the money changes. There's just sometimes some things you just can't be calm on. And there's a time and place for everything.
Amen.
But for the most part, Christ was always patient. But he was what? He was also human. Amen. Watch what verse 15 says. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. You know how some folks would like that, do that eye for eye, tooth for tooth. We have to be careful about that sometimes. When somebody cuts you off in traffic, just pray for them. I'm getting better myself with stuff like that. I've been working on myself for years. People do stuff to me now. And I have gotten better, because I have to ask myself, brother, the other day, I said, man, am I getting soft? Am I getting weaker? And now the Holy Spirit said, you are just maturing. Amen. Sometimes people mistreat me customer service-wise at out of business. I say, you know what? I'm going to pray for them and put that just – the vengeance is mine, said the Lord. So a lot of times we just have to just let God deal with that. I've dealt with things here, you know, people just being rude. And I said, man, why are people being so ugly and rude? I said, you know, used to be a time where I would fire back or something. I said, you know what? I'm just going to let God handle it. And let business be. Amen. Amen. Now, what was it?
Amen.
He said, but ever follow that which is good, be among yourselves and to all men. Amen. So what? Always try to do good. Amen. Always try to do good. Try not to worry about people, worry about things that are going on. Don't get so wrapped up and caught up. Amen. And don't let people get you caught up into things. Amen. Because a lot of times, somebody cut you off in traffic. You want to, you know, especially the way people are acting now with this road race stuff. And you know what? Just follow that which is good.
Amen.
I get challenged all the time, brother. Amen. I get challenged all the time. And you know what? I just say, whatever. I go about my business. Hey, man, people want to cut me off. People want to do this, blow the horn. Okay, just say all right and keep going. Amen. Amen. I'm going to give it to you, brother. I'm going to come back and finish it up. Amen. I'm going to finish up verses 16 through 28. Amen. But go ahead, brother. Amen. What you got? Go ahead.
Amen. Amen. Conduct. Conduct. Conduct toward our fellow man. If you're a Christian and I'm a Christian, we should have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And the churches today can't get it together because they're more on themselves than the souls of men. When you leave alone the responsibility that you have in being saved, because you got more responsibility being saved than a person that is not saved. You got a heavy responsibility to show the light of Christ in your life for other men to see that they would want it. If you say you got salvation and you live in like hell nation, you can't draw me. I can't pay no attention to that. And when you come to know Jesus Christ, there is absolutely a change in your life, and then there's growth in your life. If you say you say, you should be going every day. It ain't something that you can stop and go to stop. It's a thing you're working on every day. And what you saying, brother, I'm working on myself. I'm saying, Lord, did I say something wrong? Lord, did I think wrong? Did I react wrong? And you see, the devil don't care if you're saved or not saved. Especially if you're saved, he's going to try you and see what you really got. But the Bible tells us in that scripture, he said, pray without ceasing. That means you pray every day. Every day. When you get up in the morning, you're praying and bow down on your knees is good to show respect and honor and worship to the Lord, but you're praying while you're walking down the road. You're praying while you're driving. And everything you do, you know, offer up prayer, because prayer is the key. You're talking to God. You're related to God. God is able to control your temper, control your behavior. Since we're living in such a evil day where people have disregarded God almost altogether, church folks have disregarded God, no respect. And one thing I noticed, there's no fear of God in the church.
No fear.
When you don't have no fear of what you're doing and what you're saying that's not godly, you should fear God. Because God said, I don't agree with that. No, I ain't taking that. I ain't compromising with that. A lot of people acting up in church, born-again believers, and they think God is pleased. And God is not pleased with you. He would be pleased with me if I act. I don't care what kind of preacher you call yourself to be. Amen. And so what we're doing today, we want to instill you that we are living definitely in the last days. We're living in the opening of the book of Revelation. And it's time for us really to get it on with the Lord, because I was enthused about the brother telling me about the pastor coming in and he's preaching on Revelation. I thank God for that. Because that's what needs to be taught in our churches to our young people, because this young generation is the young generation of the last generation, and a lot of young people today are going to probably be entered into the millennium reign, because if they don't get wrapped up, they're going to have to face the Antichrist and all this new technology, all this new kinds of ways of communication. Nobody ain't going to be able to escape. Because they're going to set it up now. They set it up now for you to receive a mark. And I'm not talking about coronavirus. I'm talking about the mark of the beast. The church will be gone then, and the church won't have to face that. Because the Antichrist for 2,000 years. Anti-security, paganism, all kind of fake worship, all kind of fake preachers. Everybody preaching motivating speeches and trying to motivate folks and doing all kind of acts in the church to claim it is salvation. I don't care how high you jump. I don't care how much you dance. I don't care how much you speak in tongues. I don't care how much you well-dressed. I don't care how much you speak eloquent. I don't care how much your education you got. I want to know one thing. I want to know one thing, if not, I don't know nothing else. Do you know what the love of God is? Have you ever felt the love of God? Have you ever experienced the love? Have you ever witnessed in the love of God? And let me tell you, if you don't have the love of God in your heart, I ain't talking about this year's stuff that you mix up in the kitchen and call it love. I'm not talking about somebody you do something for somebody and then you talk around talking about. I'm talking about God's genuine divine love. If God can you and your trash and all the stuff you done against him, if he still can love you, what is your problem? You can't love your fellow brother. And the world today, the church today, is confused on this here love thing. Because the Bible says the love of God covers a multitude of sin. And the Bible says also in the last days, in the last closing hour, the love of many shall wax cold. And it's not talking about the world. I mean, if you ever been out in the world, man, you got friends, you go to the bar, you know, you having a party, man, you just love everybody in your own way. And here we talk about the love of God in the house of God. And we look at each other, and if I don't like the way you hold your lips or your ears look or your eyes look or the way you are, I ain't going to love you. But see, ain't no such thing as like. Ain't no thing, I like you, I like you. No, it's love. It says greet one another with a holy kiss. Don't you do that today. No, Lord, have mercy. If you cheat kiss somebody, oh, man, they think you're going together because their minds is in the gutter. I remember when I was in church. The preacher used to greet each other with a kiss on the cheek. And the women used to greet one another with a kiss on the cheek, praise the Lord, and going about their business. But you can't do that today because they're already doing it, but they're doing it in the wrong way. Oh, y'all don't hear me. This is what I'm trying to tell you. We are living in the cloak of the Laodicean church age. Jesus Christ got his church. The only thing he's doing now is he's giving the world a last warning. I believe in my heart, in my mind, in my soul, in my feet, in my foot, in my toes. This year is the last year
Lord
that God would rain mercy upon the world.
I live
the way God wants me to live, that I keep my eyes towards heaven. And yet and still, I got to preach the gospel. I got to tell you the truth. I can't hanky-panky you. I can't straddle the fence. I got to tell you exactly. I believe in my spirit, in my heart, this will be the last year that God will hold his wrath back until the rapture of the church. We're living in a time of trouble everywhere. You can't go nowhere where you can't hear some kind of tragedy. You can't hear somebody been stolen. You can't hear nothing good because the devil knows. Like I told you, the devil knows more than the average saint. Because if the saint knows more than the devil, they wouldn't be in the proper position there. The devil knows if I can keep you worldly minded, man, I can get you to do anything. If I can keep you from going to Bible study, Bible, I got you. If I keep you from praying, like you so busy you can't pray, like you so busy that you can't spend some time with the Lord and ask him, Lord, what would you have me to do? Can I help somebody? Because, look, if you are not helping nobody, Lord have mercy. If you're not helping nobody and encouraging nobody and lifting your fellow brother up in the Lord, can I say this? What good are you? Amen.
That's right.
If a hen's supposed to lay eggs and the hen don't lay eggs, the only thing she would be good for is to eat it, eat the chicken. But if she's not producing no eggs, what good is she? And a saint of God should produce something. What? Joy, peace, love, mercy, goodness, long-suffering, repentance. Produce something. And if you produce something, the only way you can produce it is through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is your producer. He's the one that lifts you up. He's the one that keeps you together. He's the one that keeps your temper down. He's the one that tells you to abstain from all kind of foolish talking, all kind of joking, because there's too much joking in the house of God anymore. too much fooling around anymore. It ain't serious. Serious what? Serious, you got a soul, sister. You got a soul, brother. Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know him as your personal savior? Do you love the white man? Do you love the black man? Do you love the Chinese? Do you love everybody? And I'm not living off the past. I'm not living off the past. Slavery is there. And now we got another slave master. Slave to sin. And I'd rather be a slave to I'm going to say this, but a lot of people might not agree, but I'd rather be slave to the white man than slave to the devil. Because the devil can damn your soul. The devil can put you in a position that you think there's no God, and if God heaven, why he goes through all that. He can put all kind of evil thoughts in your mind to make you refrain from serving the Lord. But God has never mistreated anybody. Amen. We're living in that time now, what Daniel spoke of, and that he spoke of the 70th week spoken by Daniel the prophet. Well, we get ready to enter in into that 70th week, and that 70th week starts at the fourth chapter of Revelation.
Right.
That's it. It starts at the fourth chapter. That 70th week kicks in, and it only can kick in when the body of the glorious church that Jesus Christ purchased with his own blood will be raptured up into what? The heavenlies. Past the moon and the stars, past galaxies, past Neptune and Pluto and Jupiter and Mars, past on up into the presence of God. Are we headed that way?
Yes, that's right. Amen. Destiny.
That's my destiny. My destiny is not here. I'm passing
through, right, brother.
I'm an old pilgrim. Huh? I'm holding up the bloodstained banner. I'm trying to tell the world, me and Brother Tim, trying to tell the world, Jesus is the way.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't got nothing against the Baptist. I ain't got nothing against the Presbyterian. I ain't even got nothing against the Catholic, because there's some Catholic saved. There's some saved Baptist. There's some saved Presbyterian. The only thing I got against some of the churches is they picking up paganism.
That's right.
They worshiping all kinds. They picking up paganism. They fooling around. They're lusting after each other. I got against the church. That's what Jesus Christ, the seven churches of Asia Minor. He had seven churches to deal with, and five of them, he said, no, y'all better gather. He only
That's
took
right.
two and said, look, you're doing exactly what I want you to do. I want you to spread the gospel. I want you
Come
to
on,
live
man.
The life. Not on
That's
your
right.
own. No. You know, a lot of people can live good. You know, they can have good moral standards. But you're going to have God clean. Woo! And the only thing can clean your soul, huh? And the only thing can clean your spirit is the blood of Christ. Christ's blood. Why? Because it was the blood of God Almighty. It was his blood. And his blood is holy. How holy is it? Man, let me tell you, the blood of Christ is so powerful that if the world would repent right now, the Lord could save 7.1 billion people in the split second. That's how
right.
powerful the blood. You'll see whoremongers coming off the church. You'll see pimps, amen, going to church. You will see drunkards being sober. You will see people loving one another. You will see everybody rejoicing for the grace and the love and the long suffering. You were just dead. And the reason why the world was born in sin, shaped in iniquity, and people love sin. The devil loves sin. And until you start hating sin and hating all the abominations that men are doing, and turn, brother, you turn around and say, look, I'm sick of this. I'm sick of drugs. I'm sick of whoremongering. I'm sick of fornication. I'm sick of adultery. I'm sick of that mess. That stuff don't do nothing but destroy your being. It's right smack dab in. And the only way you can be delivered is the power and through the blood of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, without that shedding the blood, the Holy Spirit could not come into your life. And when it comes into your life, it comes in there to stay. Hallelujah. Ain't no such thing as being born four or five times. People say, well, I got saved. and now I'm lost. Well, how can you be lost when the blood of Jesus Christ got the power to seal your soul with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption? How can you say you got saved 4 or 5 times? You're stomping the blood of Jesus Christ under your feet, because when Christ comes into your life, he better stay. He will not move out. I don't care what the devil try to put on you. I don't care what the devil try to tell you. Amen. And the Bible says, you know you pass from death to life because you love one another. Oh, man, the love of God is awesome. The love of God loves the unlovely that they can be lovely. And the world is saying, oh, man, I don't want to go to no church, man. Them folks up there, they don't with each other. But what are you supposed to be doing? Why? Last day. They're Laodicea operation now. And what that church is going to do after the rapture of the church is going to be infested completely with foul spirits. It's got foul spirits in there now. That means the devil said, now I'm going to get those that don't know Jesus Christ, and I'm going to get all these denominations, from the Baptist to the Presbyterian to the Mormons to the Jehovah's Witness. All these churches are right now reuniting together to become one world church. One world church under the influence of the Antichrist. The Antichrist will tell these people, hey, this is what we want to do. We want the world to be more lovely, and we want to get along with everybody. So don't make no difference. Don't make no business about the cross. Just come on in. If you're a liar, a cheat, a backbiter, a homosexual, just come on in. We can have fellowship with each other and love just the way a person is. But let me tell you, God said, I cannot love sin. And if sin is in you, I love you, but I don't sin. And because I don't love sin and if sin is in you, I cannot let you into my sin. You got to be what? Born again. And this is not teaching repentance. They don't have to repent. Just go to Greece. Father, go right back out there and do it. But let me tell you, Jesus Christ, I preach now. And I go directly to him. And by his shed blood, my sin for what? Saved from sin means that my soul, look at that, my soul, my S-O-U-L, my spirit is sinless. My soul is sinless inside of me now. I ain't talking about the carnal nature. I'm talking about my soul, my well-being, because the soul is in the blood. When I die, my soul leaves my body. Why? Because I cannot exist without blood. I got to have blood in my body to live. And when I die, that means my blood and my body, they drain my blood. But my soul is saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And when it is saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, that means my soul is sinless. In other words, John the Apostle said, whoever is born of God cannot sin. Now, a lot of people say, that contradicts you. No, it don't contradict. Because Paul said, look here, he said, when I wanted to do good, evil was present. When I tried to do good, evil was always present. He said, he comes down to the raw bottom. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. Who can deliver me from this body of death? What? Sin is in the body. And death is in the body. But the spirit is alive to Christ. So when Jesus Christ comes back, he's going to change what? He's going to change his mortar, his flesh, his body into a what? A body that's just like Jesus Christ. Because when Christ came back, he did not have a blood system. The blood system was drained on Calvary. For who? For me. He drained his blood. He shed his blood for me, that through that blood and the sacrifice, because what did he do? He paid the price. For what? My lying, my whoremonger, my adultery.
Amen. Come on, doctor.
Everything. He died, and when he died, he died. But that old body still is messing with me. Come on now. People are I don't see it. You're lying.
Tell the truth.
The man, the body, said that he in sin, he's a liar. Now, wait a minute. What part of the sin? The carnal nature sin, because it's a mess. It's a mess. The flesh is a mess. It ain't going to never do right. Ain't nothing good in the flesh. Not at all. As people try to live a good moral life, it ain't good enough. What you need? You need the blood of Christ through the Holy Spirit to actually penetrate your body, go inside your soul and spirit, and only God can do that. Only the Holy Ghost can do that. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can do that. So that's why the Bible says there is no other name among men where men can be saved but by what? The blood of Jesus Christ. So what are you talking about? Denominationalism? My friends will not get into that. I was born a sinner. I was raised with a Baptist denomination. My dad was a Baptist preacher, and he was good at it. He preached the gospel. But the word Baptist don't mean you saved. The word Baptist don't mean you saved. The word Catholic don't mean you saved. The only name that's given among men is Jesus Christ. And when you come and confess his name, to who? Everybody. Confess you're a Christian. Some people are scared to say, I'm a Christian. You can say, I'm a Presbyterian and I'm a Methodist, but confess that you know Jesus Christ. I know the man. I know the man from Galilee. I'm not ashamed to say I know the man. I'll tell him, and if I don't tell, I say, Lord, open up my mouth and let the people know. If I say it, then I ought to live it. And if I ain't living it, then I ain't got no business saying it. Praise God.
Amen.
God said, be a light to the world through me. The Christian is a light to the world. Any other so-called way of salvation is no Jesus Christ. But this here church that I'm talking about, and I'm going to give it over to the brother, this last church is called the New World Order Organization, where there'll be one world church, one world government, one world economical system. It all, the world's going to join together all under the influence of Satan. Satan is going to join the nations and the world together against God. And when they come against God, they're in for a fall, because the final battle before, after the rapture and at the end of the rapture, the final battle will make the head decision on who will rule the planet. And that will be the battle of Armageddon, called Mageddon,
Amen.
The battle of the kitchen, where the armies of the world, every army that can muster up millions of men, they're going to meet Jesus Christ at Jerusalem, because that's what Satan wants. He wants to rule from Jerusalem. He'll be sitting in the temple pretty soon. And the Antichrist, I want to tell you, sisters and brothers, I tell you, the bottom of my heart, I tell you, if you put me in a hole, I'll come up out the hole and tell you, Jesus Christ is on his way. And when I say that, I'm saying that the battle of Armageddon will be so tragic and so astronomical that the blood of armies and the blood of kings and the blood of nations will fill the valley of Megiddo up to the horse's bridle. And Jesus Christ will slay the wicked that prophesied and went against him. So the devil is not going to win. He know he ain't going to win. And why do
That's
you
right.
want to serve the devil? Why you want to serve the critter? He ain't no good.
Right.
He's low down, dirty. He don't care nothing about you. Only person, only deity, the only God that cares about you is Jesus Christ. He's the only one
That's
to
right.
care about you. Yet still, people reject him. God ain't thinking about you. My Lord ain't thinking about you. Some God that made up and paid up and made up Moloch, that God, some God, some are demons. Those are demons working in the spirit and in the air. And the world One day, they're going to see who they serve. My God, just think. If you're serving the devil, you're going to see the critter. And he's going to laugh in your face. He's going to say, I told you not to listen to Bizarre. Don't listen to no Jackson. They ain't know what they're talking about. But you're going to wish I would have listened. I thought they was crazy. I thought they had lost their mind. They talking about Jesus coming. They've been talking about that for 2,000 years. Ain't nothing happened.
Right.
They've been talking about it so long until it sounds like a broken record. Ain't nothing happened. Well, I like to have a broken record more than I have a record at all. And I got a record, Jesus Christ, and his word is a record. And the record is true. And there's nothing fake about the word of God. And here you are, whoever you are, whatever you are. You're running across society. You're running up and down the highway. And you need a Savior. And you don't wait for tomorrow. Don't wait 5 minutes from now. Don't wait. Because if you die, whether you die with the coronavirus or you die some kind of ailment or stroke, don't die. Don't die without Jesus. That's the only thing I have. Don't die without Jesus. If you die without Jesus, you're going to be lost forever. You're going to be separated from God forever. You're going to be in misery forever. You ain't going to ever see light again. You ain't going to never have joy again. You ain't going to never see your relatives again. You ain't going to never have peace if you go to hell. And hell is full. It's running over. Not because of God putting you there, but because you said, hey, Lord, I know. Jesus, I think about it. I'm thinking about accepting you, but, you know, I got a couple more things to do. I really want to see what I can enjoy in life other than you. Buddy, that's the greatest rejection you ever hear, when you reject God's love. Woo! And if you reject God's love, then you got to pay for your own sins. And
that's
I ain't going to tell nobody I want to pay for my own sin. No way. Because if I die, I ain't going to get up. If I die, I'll be in hell for eternity. I ain't got no power to resurrect myself. I ain't got no power to speak to the moon and the sun and the stars and tell it to hold still. I ain't got that kind of power. But Jesus got that kind of power. He got power to come up out of the grave by himself and stay on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights and told his disciples, go on back down in Jerusalem, wait for the promise of the Father. I'm going to send you the Holy Ghost, and you shall be a what? You're going to be a witness for me to the utmost parts of the earth. And I thank God I'm a witness for the Lord this morning, this afternoon.
Amen.
I'm a witness. Brother Tim is a witness.
Amen.
And that's what he told us. And he told the church members and the lay members and the deacons and the sisters and the young teenagers, be a witness for me. Show the world that I'm all powerful, all wonderful. I'm a deliverer. I'm a breadwinner. I'm your mother, your father, when you don't have no mother and father. I am your what? I am your elevator. Because when I'm down and out, I call his name and he'll lift me up. Woo! Tell the world. And quit telling this old hanky-panky, lukewarm, diluted, spaghetti religion. Religion ain't going to do nothing but drive people to hell. And Jesus said, I come to deliver you from hell. I got proof. I went to hell, preached to their prisons 3 days and three nights. I didn't take a break. I didn't have no coffee break. I put the devil in his place. I took paradise and cleaned it out. I told the angels in Tartarus, I'm coming to get you after a while. I'm just coming down here right now to let you know I got the power. Christ got the power. And I'm going to come up out the grave, and I'm going on back to heaven. And in 2,000 years or period of time, I'm coming back to judge the world in righteousness. Don't you want to be in the rapture? Because the rapture is soon to happen. It's soon to happen. It ain't too long. We ain't got too much long. 2022 is going to be a year going to shock a lot of people. And it's going to wake up a lot of people. Don't be too late. Come on in. The Bible said if you confess with your mouth, and I know you got a mouth out there, amen. I got a big mouth when it comes to Jesus Christ. I talk about him all day long. I don't say nothing about nobody. I don't go discussing nothing, nobody's business or getting all excited over a football game. But when you say Jesus, good God Almighty, I'll talk all day long, all night long. And people ain't talking about Jesus. They talking about what they're going to do tomorrow. Tomorrow is not granted to you. Jesus Christ says, come to him. If you confess with your mouth, believe with your heart that God raised you from the dead, the Bible says thou shalt be saved. This is what we're trying to convince you to receive Christ. Brother, go ahead. Brother Tim, you can take it.
Amen, amen. All glory be to God. I have my phone on me. Amen.
Oh, okay.
Amen.
Okay.
Awesome
okay.
word. Awesome okay. word. Amen. Awesome word. Amen. Amen. For the time, amen, I'm just gonna touch on a few of these scriptures. Amen. I've already read them to you.
Amen.
Well, the one that I want to take a look at, amen, is 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verse 23.
Yeah, all right.
Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. It says, in the very God of peace, sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole heart. I'm sorry. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body. Amen.
Uh-huh.
Be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Reading that verse, you say, what does that mean? You remember, what was the first commandment? Amen. Love the Lord thy God with all the heart, the mind, the soul. Amen. And the mind. God is simply saying what Paul is simply saying, what the scriptures already said. We are to love God. Amen. To serve him with all of our being. Amen. And he says, the God of peace sanctify you wholly. Amen. And that's how you become holy.
Amen.
That's how you be holy. Amen. That we may be blameless unto the coming of the Lord of our Jesus Christ, coming of our Lord. Amen. We're going to receive a crown for loving his appearance. Amen. And
amen.
So what I also want to point your attention to, amen, this is a scripture that I actually taught over a year ago about what happens to us. Because if you read verse 24, it says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Amen. God, in other words, God said, I'm going to do everything that I said I'm going to do. Christ said, I'm going to return to get the church. He's going to do that. You best believe, amen, as sure as I'm up here speaking, as the brothers up here teaching and speaking, and we're teaching the word, Christ is coming back. And like you said, people are taking this lightly, back as if Christ ain't coming back. A lot of them don't even want, I'm talking about people in the church, don't want them to come back because they're having fun, they enjoy, they're doing stuff that the world is doing.
Yes, yes.
Amen,
yes.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
So
yes.
We want you to be prepared for the return of Christ. Amen. And he's going to do it. He's going to do everything that he said. He's going to do everything that Paul said he's going to do. What did Paul say over in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter?
All right.
I believe it was verse 50. Let me see what it was. Let me read 51. It to you. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse 51 and 52.
That's
he
right.
says, behold, I show you
behold,
a mystery. We should not all sleep. But we shall
yeah.
be changed in a moment,
yeah.
in a twinkling of an eye. At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. He's going to do it. Hey, man, he's going to come back. He's going to give you a new body. We're going to have a glorified body just as he is, because I read to you last week. Earlier this week when the scripture said that we shall be as he is. Amen?
Amen.
Excuse me. Amen. I gave you the example of the glorified Christ, how he was yet the son of man, meaning that he was earthly like Adam and like you and I, and how he is spiritual, the son of God. But he has also
yeah.
a spiritual look about him. Amen. Amen. So he's gonna do what he say he's gonna do, amen. You can best believe that whatever God has said and whatever he has promised you and I, he's gonna do it. He's gonna keep his word because that's who he
yes,
is.
Sir.
I would say that God is not man that he should what lie. Let us not
yeah.
grow weary in well doing. Let us not grow weary in this last hour, amen. We are almost home, amen. This is not the home, your house that you go to, the bed you sleep in. Man, God got something for you far more better than this, and I'm waiting on it. And much as I love my house, my bed, everything about my house and my wife and children, I enjoy life, but this is not my home. Amen. I ain't that in love with this life. I am not ready to support to come to pass for Christ to get the church. Amen. We know that's what we long for. But Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That was what Paul's desire was. We desire to be with God for all eternity, to walk in love, peace, and joy. Not to sit down here on this earth enjoying a few things and struggling and stressing and dealing with sickness and pain and health and things of that nature. Amen. There, God said, I got something far more better for you than that. And in fact, Paul said it best. I hadn't seen, ear hadn't heard, nor has entered into the hearts of man what God has for them that love him. That's what God has for me. And that's what I want. Amen. You got to love God. Amen. The Bible says, if you love him, you what? Keep his commandments. Amen.
Come on.
Just that plain and simple. Amen. I'm going to go call your attention to Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, verse 7. Amen. I actually taught on this a while back. Watch what it says in verse 7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Amen.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen. Amen. If you're not called up to be with God, amen, his return, your body's going to go back to the earth, and your spirit goes back to the Heavenly Father. Amen.
Yeah.
That's a promise from God. And when Christ come back to get the church, what's going to happen? Amen. We're talking about the appearing of Christ. What's going to happen? Amen.
Right.
The dead in Christ is going to rise first, meaning that their body is going to go to the grave. And the soul, the spirit, the soul which is in heaven, is going to meet in midair together with Christ. Amen. Your body and soul is going to hit. It's going to be like, boom. They're going to be one right there with Christ.
Right
and
there.
Then those of us who are alive and remain, amen. As the brother said, we are close. We believe it could possibly be this year. We are close. Amen. That when that trumpet sounds at the last trump, amen, we're going to be caught up in the, if we're alive and remain, we're going to be caught up to meet with the other saints in the air. Amen. So your body is just going to be changed. As Paul said, now what's going to happen to your body is just going to change in the twinkling of an eye because you're still alive. So your body and soul, your spirit is still one right now. Amen. Your soul, your body, and your spirit are all one. And what's going to happen is, amen, they're going to all connect one together and meet with Christ in the air. How
in the air.
Awesome is that? Amen. In the air. Hey, that is awesome, man. I love the word, man. Yes, sir. Love God. Amen. Amen. And so what I want to throw at you, amen, before I turn back over to the brother, I want to talk to you about how you can meet the Lord. Amen. Because this is what we long for. And because we teach so much, we preach so much, amen, and I think that if church would focus more on salvation at the end of teaching and preaching, that more souls would get saved. Because a lot of people, they hear this word, they enjoy the word, they say that was a good word, but what must I do to be saved? What must I do to take in the return of Christ when those trumpets
go?
What must I do to be caught up in the air? What must I do to miss the great tribulation? This is what you got to do. Amen. Go over. Amen. The Romans.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all, some of y'all know where I'm going. So, amen. Go over. Amen. I'm going to trick y'all today. Amen. Go over to Romans, the 3rd chapter. Amen.
All right.
You thought I was going to say Romans 10:9-10. That's where you have to believe it with your heart. That's the action. Amen. But I want to let you know about how salvation works. Go to Romans, the 3rd chapter. And we're going to start at verse 21. Amen. And I'm just going to kind of skim through it. Amen. Because I know I'm going to turn it back over to the brother in a minute. Now watch what it says in Romans 3:21. It says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. Amen.
Yeah.
How's righteousness? Amen. How's righteousness? Righteousness is without the law. It says,
yes, sir.
Being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by
Woo.
Faith in Jesus Christ, faith. Unto all and upon all them that what?
Believe.
Believe. Amen. For there is no difference. For
Thank
all
you.
Have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. I'm no better than you, and guess what? You're no better than me. Amen. None of us has the right to walk with our nose in the air or with our chest to the ground. Amen. Because I'm no better than you, and you are no better than me. But watch
Amen,
what
bro.
Paul said, being justified freely, amen, by his grace
amen.
Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That's by the blood. Amen. Amen.
Come on. Come
Amen.
On.
It says, verse 25, it says, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his what? There it is. I just said it. In
yes.
his blood. Know that you can do nothing in and of yourself. It ain't nothing that you did to save your soul. I get so sick and tired of hearing these creatures trying to include themselves in salvation. You didn't go to the cross. You didn't die on the cross. You have nothing to do with putting your soul in heaven. Let's just keep it real. Christ died for your sins. You didn't die for your sins. So stop saying that you can work your way in heaven. Because if you believe that you can work your way in heaven, you're going to find out the wrong thing. Amen. You're going to mess around and find yourself in hell. Amen. Let's just be real. Because you can't work your way into heaven. Amen. The only way that you can be saved is the sacrifice of the Lamb. And it is because Christ made the ultimate sacrifice that saved your soul. And because he made that ultimate sacrifice, amen, you have received salvation through faith, not of works, least any man can boast. Amen. That is all scripture. Amen. Watch what he said. He said, through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins. Amen. No matter what you do, how many times you do it, because his blood covers what? A multitude of sins. Amen. That are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting it? And that Paul is quick with the words. Paul said, where is boasting it? Amen. Watch what Paul say. This is for all you pastors out there like to talk about you're saved by works. And Paul said that it is what? Excluded, meaning that your works has nothing to do with your salvation. He says, by law of works? Nay, no, but by the law of faith.
Of faith.
Amen. See, if you're going to say that you got to work your way in heaven, you got to do it for everything. Amen. You got to do it. If you're going to do it, you can't do it for some things. You don't get to pick and choose what you get to abide by. No, you got to do it for everything. But see, that's what the Lamb does. That's what the blood of Christ does, is he does and he did what you cannot do. Amen. You
Come
cannot
on.
Live a perfected life. Only the Lamb that was slain could do it. Amen. Watch what it says. So therefore, we conclude. Ooh, I like Paul. Paul said, therefore, in other words, he said, we have come to this conclusion that a man is justified by faith without the deeds. What is the deeds? The works of the law. Woo! He says in verse 29, is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing
All
it
right.
is one God, which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision
uh-huh.
through faith. Do
through
we
faith.
Then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Ooh, in other words, you still need to uphold the law. The rules and regulations still apply in the New Testament, in the church age. You still need to obey God's commandments. Amen. What he say?
Amen.
What he tell the what he tell them? He said, hang all the laws and the prophet on these two laws, Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, and all thy soul. Amen. Soul and all thy mind. Amen. I mean, basically, that means to love God with all your being. Amen. That's why Paul said we are to abstain from all what? Appearances of evil. Meaning that we are to walk in the Spirit as much as you possibly can. Love God and do godly things all day, every day, as much as you can and when you have the opportunity. Amen. That's what that means. Amen. Amen.
On,
now watch this. Amen. It says, yes, yea, we establish the law. In other words, amen, we live by it. Amen. We live by it. Amen. If he says, thou shalt not kill, amen, we stand by that. Amen. Thou shalt not commit adultery, amen, we stand by that. Thou shalt not steal, amen, we stand by that. We know that it does not save you, but amen, we still do what the law says to do. Amen. So, but we know that your salvation, Christ has already did the hard part. He has made the ultimate sacrifice. Amen. He has already shed his blood for my sins. Amen. Brothers, if it's okay if I can share a few more scriptures. Amen.
Come on, brother. Come on. Come on with it.
Amen. Amen. I got a few more scriptures. So we know Romans 10, 9, and 10 is what you need to do. Amen. Once you understand that, you need to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. And as it says in Romans 10 and 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's just that plain and simple. Just do what that scripture says, and salvation is yours. Eternal life is yours. When the trumpets blow, amen, whether you be dead or alive, you will be caught up to heaven in the air to meet the Lord. Amen. Amen. That's the word. That's straight scripture. Amen. That's what the word says.
Yes.
Amen. That's what the word, amen. That's what you have to do to receive salvation. Amen. I had a few more scriptures. Amen. If I got a little time. Amen. I want to share with you. Amen. The devil's trying to attack my mind. Amen. I'm trying to remember what the scripture was. Amen. He's trying to say, oh, I know what it was. There you go. See, the Holy Spirit, I always bring it back. Go over to St. John. That way we used to call it back in the day. Some, they just call it John now, the book of John. But, amen, I still call it St. John. Amen. Watch what it says over in St. John. Amen. If you go to St. John, the first chapter. Amen.
Yeah.
John, the first chapter, verse 29. Watch what he said. The next day, John, this is John the Baptist, see Jesus coming unto him and said, behold, the Lamb of God. The sin of the world. Do you know most pastors and most people in church don't even understand that verse? Amen. What he's simply saying is that the only thing that can take you is your sin of unbelief. If you don't believe in Christ, amen, then your sins will not be taken away. Your sins are not washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen.
Ooh,
but if you what? Amen, brother. Amen. That's why I said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin. See, it wasn't no need to put no S on there. He said the sin of the world. What is the sin? The sin is unbelief. Amen. That covers what? A multitude of sins. Because if you are unbelievers, all your sins are not covered in the blood. So that means that you're going to have to answer and pay for your sin. Like the brother said, if you want to pay for all your sin, you go right ahead. But I ain't got enough blood. Amen. I ain't got enough sacrifice. I ain't got enough of nothing. Amen. To pay for all my sins. So if you think you're going to work your way there, you go right ahead. See, won't you be disappointed? Amen. Now watch what it says over here. Amen. Go with me over to John. We still in the book of John. St. John, the third chapter. Verse 36, and I'm going to turn it right back over to the brother, close out. Amen. John, the third chapter, verse 36. Watch what it says. It says, he that believeth on the Son has what? Everlasting life. Nowhere in that verse does it say, he that worketh on the Son hath everlasting life. It ain't said nothing about no work. It said, he that believe on the Son has what? Everlasting
life.
You cannot contest that scripture, because that scripture said that you have life eternal as long as you believe in the Son of God. I believe in the Son of God, and that God raised him from the dead, and he saved my soul. Amen. That he died for my sins, and God raised him from the dead. Therefore, I have and we have eternal life. Amen. Now, watch what it says. Watch what it says, the latter part of verse 36. It says, and he that believeth not,
for you that rejecting Christ, watch what it says. The Son shall not see life. Let me read again. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. It ain't just talking about life on earth. It's talking about eternal life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. What is the wrath of God? The wrath in this life, if you die right now, you breathe your last breath, you never confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you're going to hell, amen? If you haven't confessed with your mouth and believe in your heart, you at this time, and let's say that Christ come out and get the church, and the rapture starts, you will be here. The wrath of God abideth on you. The wrath of God means you going to hell abideth on you. The wrath of you as the ultimate penalty is that you will go to the great white throne judgment. You will be judged, and ultimately the wrath of God abideth on him, meaning that you will be cast ultimately into eternal death, the lake of fire. Lord have mercy. Amen. All mercy. Glory to the Most High God. Amen. Go ahead, brother. I'm turning it back over to you. All amen.
Right, I got about 4 minutes. This is what I want to announce. It's been said God can do anything. But I try to think of some things that God can't do. Number one, God cannot lie.
Amen.
God cannot send a born-again believer to hell. Uh-oh.
Amen.
He can't do it. You know why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ, amen, amen, saves his soul from sin. God cannot tolerate sin, but to a certain extent. If you don't believe me, ask Sodom and Gomorrah. If you don't believe me, ask Noah and the Ark. God cannot do things backwards. God cannot reverse time. God can stop time, but he can't reverse you back into a little baby. He cannot, because a God of order. God cannot let a sinner enter into the heaven. God cannot enter a sinner into heaven. You know why? Sin cannot be in his presence. So there's some things that God cannot do. And there is no secret what God can do. And the world is saying that God is mystified. No, God don't want you to know everything. But what God really wants you to know of all ultimate time, he wants you to know his son, Jesus Christ. That's the main thing that God wants to introduce his son to you. And if you reject that son of God, the brother said already, if you reject it, hell will be your home. Simplicity of the gospel is confess with your mouth, repent of your sins, turn from your wicked ways, be broken with a contrite spirit, and believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead on his own power. And the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. That's what we want you to do before it's everlasting too late, because tomorrow is not granted to you. Jesus Christ is coming again. He's coming to get a church without a spot or wrinkle. And I said before, I believe 2022 is the year. I didn't tell you what day, what hour, but the seasons will be in the fall. Woo! It will be in the fall. September, October, November is the seasoning in which the rapture might happen. I didn't say it was going to happen, but might happen.
Amen.
When it happens or not, you better be ready. God loves you.
That's right.
God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday at 9 o'clock. The only thing you got to do to be saved is the simplest thing in the world. Because sin will cause you to go into eternal fire and burn for your sins and pay the penalty. And it's eternal death. Please. Listen to what the word of God says. We ain't doing this for no joke. We're doing it for salvation of your soul. Please, think about it. Go about it. Read the scriptures. Fall on your knees. You don't have to be a certain time of the day. Just say, Lord, I want to be saved. And the Lord will save you right there. I don't have
That's
to be. Right. Only thing you have to do is say, Lord, I am a sinner. I'm sorry for what I've done against you, because I know you're so holy that I'm unworthy to even to be saved. But you love me so much. You love me so much. You gave your son. And you are to accept him so that you can be flying away after a while into eternity.